Hello and welcome to All the Overs, the only Essex cricket podcast. I'm Terry.
I'm Cheese.
I'm Owen.
And together we are the three friends who get together just to talk Essex cricket. And we are here together to talk about the start of the new season 2024 campaign. Very exciting. So hi guys, how are you? How are we both doing? Cheese, it's been ages.
Been far too long, but very good, thank you. Hope you're doing well and enjoying the bank holiday and the nice weather we're having.
It's beautiful this afternoon. It was grim this morning, but yeah, definitely cricket weather today. Or golf weather if you're you.
Yes, whatever you're doing, it's definitely the day to get out and enjoy it.
For sure, for sure. How are you doing, Owen?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, sort of regretting not going to Chelmsford today. Looks like the weather to watch cricket. So, yeah,
I think I would have liked to have gone, but the forecast this morning just looked grey and miserable, so I didn't want to sit and be cold all day. And this is turning out to be really quite gorgeous, actually. I'm going to kind of screen from the sun. There you go. Never mind. It's definitely a good podcast day, though, but then every day is a good podcast day. So it's good to see both of you. Are we excited about the new season?
It's always a good time, always fun to follow along through the ups and downs, and there will be plenty of ups and downs, I'm sure. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
What about you, Owen?
Yeah, I can always tell I look forward to cricket season when my mind wanders to cricket-related activity. So the last few months I've been thinking about cover drives and in-swinging Yorkers. So yeah, I think I'm ready for it. I just find that towards the end of the season, because there's so much cricket, isn't there, that I need to rest, and now I'm ready for excited to come back to it.
6 months is a long time, to be fair.
It is a very long time, yeah. I just hope the weather stays like this, because I'm a bit worried. Walking to work, and there's a field I can walk across to make it a bit quicker, but it's been waterlogged until this week, so I was a bit worried last week that the cricket season wouldn't start with how wet the weather's been.
Well, it's been quite waterlogged. I went to somewhere in Dunmo last week. I won't say what I was doing, but I went to a field, parked in the field, went and did the activity that I was involved in, the event that I was involved in, came back out and found my car had sunk 6 inches into the field and had to be rescued by a tractor along with four other cars. So yeah, it's certainly been extremely wet, but I imagine that cricket grounds around the country have been prepped and not going to be waterlogged, so hopefully it's going to be a reasonably dry season. But obviously club cricket, it's a bit different to grassroots cricket, so I think I wouldn't like to venture a guess at what our local club is looking like at the moment. It'd be worth having a wander down, but anyway, we digress. So we have got an entirely new season, clean slate, but I think the obvious is, what do we think is going to happen? So before we talk about the first game away at Nottinghamshire, should we have a look at what's changed? We've got a couple of new signings coming in. I'm assuming you've both had a little look at the start with Dean Elgar, South African.
Well, he's someone we haven't really got to look up, is it? You know, he's a world-famous cricketer. And it's quite nice that Essex have brought in such an esteemed player. Retired in January, didn't he, from the international game? So he's going to be fully focused on Essex, which is pretty nice because, the last few years, most not just Essex, most modern overseas players, their loyalties are divided all over the world. So it's nice he's to come in, and it's like sort of goes back like a throwback to where you sign an overseas player for the year. And he's just great talent to have, really. He's got, I was looking at his stats here. There we go. So he's got a test batting average of around 38, 14 test centuries. His first class average is 42, which is pretty good. And he's hit 48 first class centuries, top scores in the 200s. So yeah, just someone that wouldn't worry about, Cook retiring. We seem to have, a very, very good replacement for Alistair.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you were looking at the market for a like-for-like replacement, he's as close as you could get. huge international experience, good county championship experience as well. He's, I think he had a stint with Somerset and a stint with Surrey, so he knows the format, he knows, you know, the lifestyle and everything else. Obviously, quality. And he's an opener, which is something that we've needed for a while. So I do think that's a very positive signing. And whilst you're never going to match Cook, it's a good as stand-in or deputy as you could get.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that he's you know, carried his bat on three test innings is very much like Cook's sort of replacement, that you've got someone you know that can hold up an end for hours and hours and hours, which you need to have in county championship cricket. It's just that stability in the top order. So it's really great to see.
Yeah, so I think we were all a bit panicked, weren't we? Yeah, we all knew that Cook's retirement was coming, and that idea of having someone that would be a suitable replacement, it wasn't, you know, looking... Well, I was certainly feeling a little bit wobbly about what this season would look like. So I'm delighted that we've secured Dean. I should call him Dean Elgar, really. We haven't met. But there you go. So, yeah. Also, you know, we have Jordan Cox joining as well. So another good addition. I know less about Jordan Cox than I do Dean Elgar. But what are our thoughts around that signing?
Well, he's it's sort of a homecoming. It's, you know, signed from Kent, seen as a Kent lad. But I looked him up today, and he's from Felsted. So not from Felsted. He went to Felsted School. So, you know, he grew up locally, you know, not too far from Chelmsford. So, yeah, I reckon he's got obviously some loyalty towards the county. So, yeah, I think it's a great signing. See what Cheese thinks.
I don't get it. I don't get that signing at all.
Okay.
Like, he's a wicketkeeper. So is Rossington not going to play? Is Rossington just going to be limited formats? Like, it took me a long time to come around to Rossington, but then I watched him in the 2020 campaign last season, and I got it, right? He can take the game away from you in the short formats, and he's a very dangerous batter. In the county championship, he's a good keeper, but not an excellent batter. He's had a few great knocks that have steered us the course, but we've never consistently praised his batting performance off the back of matches throughout the podcast. Odd mention of merit now and then, but it's not week in, week out. He's not Critchley where we go, oh, actually, this guy is the real deal and what a sign-in he turned out to be. So is Cox supposed to come in and bat but not keep, or is he going to keep and maybe contribute with the bat and free up Rossington? Like, and then we lost Bustleman, so obviously there was a keeper spot available, but there's Pepper. So if we needed another keeper, and Pepper's in the squad for today's warm-up game, right? So he's clearly not forgotten about, but surely that's the deputy. And as we've lost Lawrence, we go after a more aggressive actual batsman.
Yeah, I think the problem with having Rossington and Cook in the same team, and I'll try to bring this up today, but where does Rossington, if Rossington's there as a batter and he's not there to keep, would he put him in the slip cordons or what? Because he's not going to be an outfielder, is he? Running around the boundary with modern expectations of that, you're going to get to the ball. So, yeah, I think either thinking that Rossington is just going to be their short form player and then Cox comes into the 4-day matches. You have no idea.
You could stick Rossington in the slips, replace Cook's position, because Cook's position is slips at the end.
Yeah, obviously that's the only place I can see him being a natural slip. First slip, he's got the hand-eye coordination to the field in that position.
Yeah. To be honest, I hadn't really considered that because I was thinking more of batting, like bolstering the batting. But yeah, I completely understand what you mean. But would it be helpful if cricket clubs, and I think this for sports, you know, they kind of talk about the rationale of bringing in certain people, but if clubs said, we're bringing in this person to do this job, we want them to perform in this way. The clubs don't really do that, do they? They just do the signing.
It's a press release and they go, oh, it's great to have this player and what talent they are and we're really excited to work with them. And sometimes they do say, like, oh, we expect him to come in and contribute with the bat or everything else. But they never really go into the depths you're saying, Terry, of like, this is his specific thing, which I kind of get, because if they come in and say he's here to replace Rossington, then that upsets Rossington and everything else. But behind the scenes, someone's having the chat, or at least they hopefully have the chat of, this is the expectation of what you want to feel, and this is the expectation of how the team will look like with you in it. And I don't know, if I was him, I don't think he's come to be backup, because he was pretty consistently in the Kent team and doing all right there. And okay, this might be demeaning to Kent, but I would consider Essex a step up in terms of how their current trajectory has been. We'll get onto expectations for the current season, because I think it needs to be shifted down a lot. But you're selling it as, this is a step up, you're going to be in the team, you're going to be carrying what you've been doing at Kent, but a bigger and better things here.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. He's come to play Division One cricket, hasn't he? Looking at their stats, they've got a very similar batting average, around about just under 35. Although Ross has played over double the amount of first class games that Jordan has played. But Jordan has hit double century, which Rossington hasn't done in the Kid County Championship. So I'm not sure whether they just see his batting potential being much greater than Rossington's is in the longer format. But there's so much noise around Jordan coming in that, you know, it's not like, you know, you get some players, they sign them, and then it's like, oh, we signed this player, then you don't really hear about it from there onwards. Whereas like Cox and Elgar, they've made such a noise about it on social media, clearly. I'd be surprised if they aren't part of the first team regulars. Obviously Elgar definitely in, but as far as Cox isn't there, first team regular. Whether, yeah, who keeps the gloves is another matter. If I was Pepper though, I'd be thinking about, where is my red ball cricket? I don't know if he's so good at the white ball game, whether he just might go and become a white ball specialist and start missing the beginning of the county championship to go and play other tournaments elsewhere. So that's my concern, as we lose Michael Pepper. But I can't see Pepper having a long-term career, but with the gloves, if they're going to keep signing wicketkeepers ahead of him.
Fair enough. Okay. What about players that have been released elsewhere? Are there any ones that we think we're going to particularly miss? Obviously, we've got Dan Lawrence gone, Alex Astercook gone, Aaron Nijjar, Josh Rimmel. I'm going to say his name wrong. Rimmel. Buttleman. I'm
surprised by Rimmel.
I was surprised by Rimmel.
And I guess Nijjar, you've got Harmer and Critchley in the team. You know, it's like, you've got to move on with your career, haven't you? If to be a third choice spinner, especially in April, we're not going to get a game, are you? But Rimmel, how well he was doing, given how young he is, I was really surprised by that.
What did you think, Cheese?
Yeah, no, Rimmel was the name on the list that you kind of thought another year or two you could see. But I think if he was really career driven and wanted to play regularly and everything else, he was only getting opportunities in the One Day Cup. And even then, he burst onto the scene last season, didn't meet the standards he probably set for himself. So I did kind of see it. Like, he's a case of huge potential, and maybe in 2 years, 3 years, it could be another sort of hope situation where we're like, oh, why did we release him and everything else? But I don't think he, in the immediacy, is going to be a huge loss. When you look at the squad on paper, I don't see a balance in what we've got. I see an opener in Elgar. That is right, Dean Elgar, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to get the names wrong, right?
No, start, Dean Elgar, then, definitely right. Yeah.
And then carry that through for the next 6 and 7 months. Just like, why has no one corrected him? It's obviously wrong.
This is our club, that's where we get things wrong, which is nice.
So he's obviously opening. And you've got Wesley at three. You'd expect. I don't think he's going to be much lower than that. Three or four would be the only positions I see him filling. I don't see him opening. Then what? Cox at five, Rossington at six. Is Walter going to play and give us an all-rounder spot at seven? Snater, Porter, Cook, Harmer. Where's the batting depth? It just isn't there. And I've not mentioned Critchley. So maybe Walter and Critchley. And then it's like Critchley four, Walter five. I don't get the composition that we're trying to go for. And I'm assuming Brown is in at two alongside Elgar, because we've had no news about that.
Well, Critchley's opening today. He got 10.
Critchley opened today. Okay, maybe.
Yeah, and Cox came in at four and got 11. It's a friendly, can't really go by much about the actual runs, but yeah, the batting lineup today, weirdly, all three of the players we talked about not being the same team together are in there. Elgar, Critchley, Wesley, three, so right, we were correct there. Cox, Critchley, Walter, Rossington, then Pepper, Harmer, Snater, Beard.
We didn't play three wicket keepers today, did we?
Yeah, Rossington's down as keeping. Cox and Pepper are there as batters.
And Beard was there.
Yeah, I find weird that we've only got two seamers, given it's April and overcast. But it's a friendly. There's getting people run out on there. It's taking massive pinch of salt when you see these.
It's getting match fitness and everything else. And as much as I enjoy it, Pepper, there's no way he's played in the county first 11 regularly with the other two there.
Yeah, same with Beard. I can't see him being. I mean, he's one of my favourite bowlers, but I can't see him being in there every week.
So it's going to be very interesting. In terms of the ins and outs of everything else, I think we've not adequately replaced as a squad as a whole. I think
this season's better than usual. I mean, we didn't really replace Reverend Pyro, we didn't really replace Tender Scarter. So the fact that we've actually gone out and tried to replace Lawrence and Cook, I think it's genuinely, I mean, for once, haven't signed another seam bowler for our overseas player when we've got so many in the club. So I think actually it's quite a good bit of business from the club. And obviously, they're trying to bring through. Being financially stable, that's a big thing on the county's agenda, isn't it? Bringing through the youth and the ranks. I reckon it's just they're probably giving their opening. We've discovered who the opening bowlers are on Friday by the fact they're not playing today. You know, because opening bowlers need to be rested for the workload that goes to their bodies. So yeah. That's the only thing I think we can definitely find out from today. We know that who's opening the bowl on Friday, which is no shock. That Pepper and Porter and Sam will be charging down.
Yeah, Porter, Cook and Snater, they're going to be the carries. Harmer's going to do what he can, but it's probably too wet for too much. So I'd expect another theme in the squad on Friday. Just to give it a bit of a mix-up. You're right, the club's brought in some good players. I just feel like the last few seasons, we've been chasing a title. We've not got it, but we've been chasing it. We've been there or thereabouts, and we've lamented some rain draws or just a couple of wobbles here and there, the consistency compared to Surrey has carried them through and whatever have you. I look at this season and I think mid-table, possibly relegation.
As okay.
I don't think we will get relegated, but I think we will be, it's not unreasonable to think we'll be in the fight for relegation.
Why do you say that, Cheese?
Because I do not see where the runs come from.
Okay.
We will have an incredible bowling attack, as we always have, and that's carried plenty of games. But I do not see people with consistent 30-40 averages always getting 30-40 a game to make the games close and competitive.
Okay. But that's interesting, because my next point was going to be, are we going to topple Surrey? But your answer to that is probably going to be a resounding no.
You look at Surrey's squad, they've made it better. You look at our squad, we are, if we're generously saying that, see, Cox replaces Lawrence and has the same ability and the same talent, and Elgar replaces Cook and has the same ability and the same talent, our squad is on par with what we previously left the last season with. And that didn't get us the title.
Which wasn't good enough, yeah. Gotcha.
We were close, though. With those games that we rained off at the beginning of the season, we probably won the championship.
Yeah, I think last season we were the best team. We just got unlucky. And then at the end, because of, you know, game circumstances, chasing points rather than making the decisions that come with leading and not following, we would have closed it out. And yeah, that was like, I really do think Surrey was overlorded last season and we were underrated. But this season, I don't see it. And there's other teams like, you know, not who always get sort of overlooked or always in the running, Somerset as well, you know. We've had some very close battles with them in the past. They're going to be in a position to take points off people and have a potential breakthrough season of their own and disrupt the sad dins. As a 11 or a 15, if we're looking at the squad, I think it's good. I just don't think it's magic.
I think that's a fair assessment. So, knots on Friday then? First game. What are our predictions there then? Are we going to start strongly, or do we think that, you know, as you just said, the overlooked Nottinghamshire is going to perhaps do a number on us?
Well, I think we've got the same question we've had for the last few years, where either previously we were saying who opens with Cook, now we're going to say who opens with Elgar. We've still got that number two spot. You haven't got anyone really. I'm not an anti-Nick Brown person, but a lot of line, a lot of fans and listeners are. We haven't really solved that problem. Chrissy's in there, number two, for the match going on as we record this. Doesn't really mean he's going to be starting there on Friday. So I think that debate is still going. There's an element that says, you know, but they're doing football where, you know, competition breeds equality for places. So you might see that. I don't think in cricket that necessarily, I think consistency is the nature of the sport in cricket, by getting your facing walls is what you need, not being dropped and then put back in the team every other match. So I think that question that's still there. We know our bowling attack is probably one of the best in the county championship, but I agree with Cheese that our batting lineup is it's been withering away. I'm unfortunately it's our sixth season of doing this podcast, isn't it?
Is it really?
Yes.
I'm trying to think. Yeah.
Five six, anyway, yeah.
Every year we're like, oh, we're gonna win the championship or we'll be up there. I think we'll be in mid-table, top half, going for third. I agree that with Cheese that you got. We've done so. This is not a knock of Essex. We've done so well in performing out of our skins for county on our budget compared to the counties of test match facilities with bigger stadiums and bigger audiences. We've done so well. So I think we're actually probably where we should be, which is, you know, so that top half of the middle. probably going for third, I reckon, just because just looking at the, as she said, looking at the squads that other counties have compared to ours, and we haven't got the, I have no problem with the county taking the decisions they've made to make sure that the long-term financially stable. I'd rather have constant Division One cricket over the next 10 years than I would do gamble everything this season, it bankrupts us, we don't get it, and we end up in Division Two. Could we see another count? Oh, that Middlesex goes through that. So, yeah, I think third, fourth spot is my prediction.
Okay, that's a reasonable prediction. I am the perpetual optimist, so I'm gonna go for mid to top, but I'm not gonna nail my colours to the mast. But I certainly don't think, because I don't want to be siding with anyone, I'm going to say mid to top and hope not to be at the bottom.
Yeah,
I think we'll see how it goes. I think if you're a fan, you have to recognise this is a transition year because we've lost the influential people. And I know you could say that, oh, we lost Tendo or we lost Papara. I don't think we've lost someone as influential as Cook.
This is era changing, isn't it?
Yeah, and Lawrence as well is also, it's a sign of, it's a cultural sign of, you're not good enough to get me to the England team, to get me to titles consistently. And he probably doesn't even think that at everything else, but it is very much that kind of statement move of, I'm leaving a very good setup that I've thrived in because I want the next level. And you're
symbolic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my guess, I meant to mention this in the pods last year, so if you're new, go back and listen. But it's, we've got, from the outside, we've got an absolutely amazing culture, Essex. The culture's unbelievable, everyone works themselves, it's a real team atmosphere. I don't think we've got facilities to back it up. Not just talk about the county ground, I talk about the Graham Goode Cricket Centre, which is notch. I mean, John Stevenson, the CEO, said himself that nothing's really changed since he retired in the late 90s, and nothing's really moved on. So I think that's one of the key problems. If you've got a rising star coming through the ranks, unlike the Hussains and the Cooks, who made it to the England team and stayed there for a decade, someone on the fringe is like himself, and it does worry me. You've got Sam Cook, who probably thinks he should be getting a call up. Whether he might, if Lawrence smashes it at Surrey and then goes, well, should I be doing the same? Given that he's been experiencing other county setups through the 100 competition. That's my worry, is they might set a precedent of like, I tried my hardest at Essex, we won a championship, and that's time to do it to someone else.
It's pretty tired.
And then listen to the, is it the Rest is Football podcast of Micaiah Richards, is that the one?
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Yeah, he was talking about, they're talking about leaving clubs. I know it's a bit, it's not cricket, but like, I think it did make me think of this situation. They're talking about, when did you feel it was time to leave your favourite club? So Lindy was talking about when he left Leicester and how it was actually really hard, you know, emotionally to leave the team he supports. And Mikhail was saying how he said, I'll only ever leave City, and he wasn't getting a regular first team place, but I'll never ever leave City until I've won a trophy with them. And then they won the league and won the FA Cup, and that's when he went, I'll move on now. And so there's people in our squad who are very good players, probably are thinking, I wouldn't mind getting a test cap. I've won a championship with Essex. I've won the Blast of Essex. So, you know, I can look back on Essex's career and say, I gave everything. And maybe they might start looking for the bigger clubs. That's my only worry. Hope it doesn't come true.
It's pros and cons, though, isn't it? Like, if you deal with talent in any walks of life, you want the best, so you spend the money and you attract the best and you bring them all in, or you nurture talent and you're a greenhouse and you raise them up and move them on, and you take the benefits of moving them on. And, you know, you can be either or, but you have to accept the choices. And I think, like, to your point earlier on about sustainable cricket and futures and everything else, maybe that is the path that we then take of, we'll produce the best talent, we'll bed them in they'll have 5 wonderful years here. Maybe we get some benefit off that with the odd blast or the odd one day cup or even a county championship as they grow and mature. But then they move on to elevate their careers to test level, international level, whatever.
Well, if you are someone who's moved away from host now, Terry, as you're sure you mentioned being head teacher at the pod before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Well, you're in a, not to name the school you're at, but you're in a school, I don't know, this, you know, is in Essex, and no surprise there. We've got a grammar system in Essex. You have a lot of young teachers coming through. You're not, to be fair, not particularly, it's not really the top 10 places to visit Essex, is it? School is. And you've got the grammar schools on the doorstep who are obviously trying to poach the best talent, and they can offer fantastic facilities with classes that don't need really managing. So similar to Essex, we've got Surrey on our doorstep, we can just poach players whenever we see good ones. How would you manage that then? With our likes of like people like Michael Pepper and Porter and Sam Cook and Happy?
Well, if I had, it's a $1 million question, isn't it? I mean, if I knew the answer to that, I think I'd have all the best talent. I don't know what the answer to that is. Because it's a system we're kind of stuck in, and so unless there's a huge amount of investment from whether it's, you know, whatever body, the regulating body, or, you know, so in education for example, you know, the DfE suddenly says, well, actually, oh yeah, there's a two-tier system here, and there are schools that are being significantly disadvantaged by what the others can offer. I can't see anything changing, to be honest, and that's a bit bleak, but that's where we're at in terms of the education. I think it's the comparison is a fair one, but I think perhaps, which is, I guess it depends on where the investment's coming from. I think the difficulty with Essex is that there are so many things that need to be improved. You know, it's the ground, it's the infrastructure all around it. You know, unless there is something that is going to magically transform the ground and the club. Yeah, I don't see how we can offer something that is going to keep those players for too long before the prospect of better facilities, you know, more chance at success, greater chances of a call up, you know, again, it's going to become attractive at some point. So does that answer the question?
So we need investment, isn't it?
Sorry?
We need investment. We
need investment. Yeah, we need investment. That's my answer.
It'll be success. Success is the way to get the money. The more you win, the more people invest, the more you can spend the money within. And
but it's a cycle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's what comes first.
We've had success, but you still got a Tom Beer stand with rust all over it.
It's not success at this level. It's success at the next level. We've had success at the county. We've not had, since Cook retired from international cricket, we've not had someone step up and claim an Essex spot in that team. Tore in, tore out, gone to the IPL and smashed it season in, season out. That's the next level of success, and that brings money and interest and everything else. If we can do that, then we'll retain them. If not, we've got to appreciate the limit to it. And we could, like, our model so far has been successful. We've had very good seasons where we've won trophies and everything else. It just won't ever be an era-defining spell of dominance like Yorkshire had way back when, and that's okay. And I think that's the appreciation as fans that you've got to give, and especially to this team in this season of it's not the same team. It's why I'm quite looking forward to it, because I know I could just watch the cricket week in, week out, and I'm not worried about the results. I'm not like, oh, this is us fighting for a trophy and these are the expectations that the team brings. It's just enjoy it, just go out, play. Whatever will be, will be. I think we're good enough to say. If we get into a relegation, well, great. We've got content for the next 6 months that we can talk about. But if not, it's just going to be very enjoyable talking about something that we're all passionate about. And we'll just appreciate the ups and downs, but it won't be the high spikes and the low spikes that we've had. It'll be just a middling line with small blips either way.
Wow, quite profound. I think, gentlemen, that is probably a very good point for us to wrap up. So looking ahead to Friday, let's hope that Friday is more of a peak than a trough, not a blip. And we'll see what happens. And I'll see you in, we'll have had one and a half, possibly a whole game by the time we see each other again. But it's been lovely to catch up and hear from both of you. We'll be online on the socials. You can find us on X. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, and what else?
We're in all the major platforms. So that
all major platforms. I just felt like listing them. Fair enough. I think we're on Spotify. But there you go. We're on all the major platforms. So if you're not already following us, do subscribe. Give us a little hello on the socials, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time, folks. So it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.